So, hello again and welcome to what is, at the time, the newest episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. In this show, two former coworkers, current TV writers, and probable future heads of digital content acquisition for Quibi get together to ask and answer questions that have nothing to do with politics and everything to do with lolitics. I guess I'm in a good mood today. That's weird. At any rate, I'm the half of this podcast that is Daniel, and now we're going to hear from the half that isn't. What's up, Soren?
Hey, it's me, Soren Bowie. You know, for a while, I had a friend who tried to nickname out on me, So, and it didn't stick. And now she's landed on Sore, which I adamantly dislike. But every time you start the podcast with So, I think about that.
Oh, really? I thought your wife sometimes called you Sore. Is that not true?
She does, yeah. That's sort of gone... When it's somebody who's very close to me, I think I just sort of like flies under the radar for me. I don't even notice it because my mom will call me that sometimes too. But the nickname So, she tried out for a while and I wouldn't say anything, but we could both tell it just wasn't working. And then she moved on to Sore. And the way that she says it sounds very much like a sore. And I really dislike it.
Well, speaking of people who are close to us, I would be remiss if I did not thank
City of Baltimore.
Special thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for my listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free at skillshare.com/QQ. You couldn't ask for an easier promo code, skillshare.com/QQ.
At some point, we'll do a special for my followers. It's not coming for a while, but it's going to be a good one.
We'll see. As always, we are Quick Question, and as even more always, you, our listeners, prefer to be called Mads Quickelson, Casino Royale, remember? Do you remember?
What? Is Mads Nicholson his real name?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Mikkelsen. He was in the Rihanna video, and he's now in Death Stranding, but he's
familiar
awesome.
With him. Yeah. He's awesome. He's incredible.
He's really good. His eye was bleeding in Casino Royale, and it just like never came up. They were like, why is your eye bleeding? And he's like, don't worry about it. And that was narratively true. You shouldn't have worried about it. It was just a
Mads
weird thing.
Quickelston.
Mads Quickelston?
Yeah. Quickelston. Quickelston. Yeah. Stjen. I'm going to stick with Stjen.
Stjen. Okay. I hear someone laughing weaselly in the background. Not like a weasel, but like with a wheeze in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear from him?
Hey, Dan. I do have a wheeze in my voice.
Bacon's very sick.
I'm under the weather.
What do you think you got?
I don't think it's serious.
I don't know. I'm looking at him. It looks like Ebola.
I do feel unwell.
Okay.
His insides are liquefying. I can tell. He's sloshing around over there.
See, so now here's... So there are two jokes that I'm not sure if I would make or not. And I would like your guys' help. Because Bacon said he's not sure if it's serious. And then I thought, Yahoo serious... Yahoo Answers, maybe something there. But then he said, I'm unwell. And I thought, there's that Matchbox 20 song, Unwell. Maybe there's something there. So which route do you think I should go with a joke about Bacon being sick right now? Yahoo Serious or Matchbox 20's Unwell?
I go the Young Einstein route. I go with Yahoo Serious.
Yahoo Serious? Okay.
Yeah.
So let's pretend I did that.
Okay.
I made a good joke about it.
Oh, Dan.
The things we do when we have a sponsor behind the episode. We like to call out one review every week to read on the show. And this week we turn to, forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, Shaby99, who says, this is the first podcast I've ever listened through the entire way. I accidentally opened the podcast looking for my music app today on my way to work and just picked Quick Question at random. Love everything about this show. 5 stars. Can't really beat that.
I love that.
Don't understand it.
This seems like a lie because we are not merchandised anywhere. Unless, actually, if she's, I don't want to go back to the mainstay, the Icelandic.
Oh, she's Icelandic.
It might be a different country because it's very hard to pick us randomly out of anything. You have to click like 3 times to get to where we're merchandised with like the other podcasts.
Our icon is pretty enticing, Bacon.
So this was, here's an interesting thing about Bacon as our business manager, is that the podcast has a very clear floor, which is fans of Soren and Mai from the past. And we hope it doesn't have a clear ceiling. We hope it can keep growing with people who don't know us from the past. This, theoretically, is our target audience. People who are wandering in off the streets and finding us and enjoying the content. And Bacon is calling that person a liar. I think that's interesting. Soren, your thoughts?
I'm rattled by the fact that you said you hope there's no ceiling of this podcast. That's the nicest thing you've ever said about Quick Question.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood. It sucks.
It's a little hiatus will do to you, man.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you, Dan, and it's quick.
Okay, I'll take it.
What's the closest you've ever been to death?
And
by that, I mean, like, you had a moment of clarity in a perilous situation where you thought, well, this could be it for me.
Yeah, I think years ago, 2012 or 2013, somewhere around there, I was still living in LA at the time, but was visiting New York, New Jersey. It was around this time of year, actually, because it was around Christmas time. And I was going to a bar called West 4th in Manhattan. And I was meeting our friends, Ben Joseph, Brian McElhaney, Nick Kocher, and Caitlin Large. And I was crossing the street, and there was a car coming. It was a cab who was also driving that street, and he believed it was his time to go, even though the light was red. And I disagreed, but it didn't matter because he was a car and he was much bigger and stronger than me. So he hit me.
Oh.
And things moved much slower than they do normally. Like, I turned and saw a car, and my brain, a part of my brain that I don't control, so I can't take any credit for it, recognized, hey, this thing is going much faster than it's supposed to be right now. And I was like, yes, good brain, you're right. And the brain was like, we can't get out of the way of this car. I was like, yep, that I've cross-checked that with my math and agree. I can't get out of this way. So we were all on the same page that there was no way that I wasn't getting hit by this car. And then the good part of my brain took over and, like, moved my body. I jumped up. I did what I have since learned is, like, the correct way to get hit by a car, where I jumped up and turned most of my body. So, like, the car hit my ass. And,
yeah, the more cushioned areas.
And back. Yeah, the most cushioned areas. And I was launched forward off the car. The thing that I did wrong was put my hand out to be like, hey, car, stop. And my hand was subsequently crushed between my body and the windshield of the car, and damaged my fingers for a while. Luckily, knock on wood, didn't die, but it was certainly a moment where I knew I was going to get hit by this car and my body was going to take over and do whatever it needed to do to lessen the damage as much as possible. But my brain was like, oh, we're getting hit by a car now. All right, this might be it. How do you feel?
Do you feel good about the fact that your body kind of did the right thing in that moment?
I do, yeah.
It's very comforting.
The only thing that I did wrong was sticking my arm out, which is, like, the only decision that I made. The rest of it was, like, body doing body stuff, and the hand was, like, me trying to reason with the manager of the establishment. It was like, excuse me, a word, please. And, like, that was the only mistake that I made.
Yeah, trying to turn this perilous situation into a civil conversation was probably not the best, but yeah, it's very comforting. And I mean, I've been on I've been driving before. I was in the passenger seat and a friend was driving. He started to fall asleep at the wheel and I was already asleep, and I happened to wake up and notice that we were drifting into the other lane. And without thinking, I reached over and grabbed the wheel and pulled us back into our lane and then woke him up. And as we were, like, he was like, I need to pull over and sleep. And I was like, yeah, I'll drive. And as I was driving, I was thinking about all the ways that could have gone and all the terrible circumstances that could have happened. If I had jostled him awake, scared him awake, how he would have, like, turned the wheel, what would have happened. And it was, like, the best case scenario. And I was so proud that my instincts were to just do that and do the right thing. And I was like, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, it's very comforting that my body is smarter than my brain. I really appreciate that because my brain's pretty dumb. So I'm gonna need these instincts, and, like, that's the deal. When I survived getting hit by a car, I talked to my body and I was like, okay, I'm going to keep feeding you. Keep giving you water. I'm going to do all the things that you need. We're going to sleep. We're going to eat. We're going to drink. And you take care of, like, when it gets scary, you're in charge.
And when you landed on the ground, was there like a moment of euphoria, or were you just not even sure of how injured you were?
I wasn't sure of how injured I was. There was also, I didn't know how much my hand hurt because of adrenaline. I knew that something happened to my hand because as soon as I got up, I was wiggling all of my fingers to prove that my hand still worked. And so when there were like very kind passersby who were asking if I was okay, I would just show them my hand moving and be like, I'm okay. Look, all the fingers are working. I'm fine. But my main response to getting hit by the car was I was profoundly embarrassed because I felt like I'd made a spectacle of myself. And like, you know, I especially in New York, I don't want to feel like an idiot or a tourist or a silly person or anyone who doesn't belong. And one of the things that happened when I got hit by the car was my cell phone shot out of my pocket, landed on the ground, and shattered. And so my main concern when there were all these kind strangers who were like, we should call the hospital. What do you need? What can we do? And I was like, if you could just like look at my fingers, my hand works. If you could just like help me find my phone, that's all. I need to get my phone, and then I need to go and meet my friends, and then I'll be out of everyone's hair. And we'll all be good. Like, that was my main concern, was not being a burden to anyone else. Like, even the taxi driver, I went to him and I showed him my working fingers and I was like, I think we're going to be okay, buddy. I think I'm fine. So that means you're fine. So this is going to be all right. And we don't have to worry about anything. And I had strangers help me gather my phone, put my phone back together. And the taxi driver sped off without anyone getting his plates. And then the very kind people who were with me were like, we're going to take you to the hospital. I was like, I don't want to go to the hospital. Not because I was afraid of hospitals or anything, but because I had plans and I wanted to stick to those plans. That's where my brain was, which is like, okay, A, get your phone. B, check your hand. C, do your plans because you're expected at this bar. So do that. And these strangers, whose names incidentally were Dan and Dave, they wouldn't let me go. So I had to text our friend Ben Joseph. And I was like, hey, I'm at the corner of this and this. I got hit by a car. They're not letting me go. You got to come and get me. And so Ben came. And the strangers, Dan and Dave, were like, don't listen to this guy. He got hit by a car. He's on adrenaline right now. He needs to go to a hospital. And he was like, okay, thank you. I will do that. And then they released me to Ben's custody. And then we walked across the street and Ben was like, are you fine? I was like, I think I'm fine. And he was like, I think you're fine too. And then we went to the bar.
That's the thing that doesn't get enough credit in movies or enough play in movies, is that when you are in a really perilous situation where you almost die or think you could have, the first thing you're hit with is a bunch of shame.
Yeah.
And you just want to get out of that situation. Like, when you think about movies, the damsel in distress trope, if a man saves a woman in that circumstance, her first instinct is not going to be, oh my God, you saved me, I'm in love with you. It's going to be, I need to be alone right now and I need to not be near people because I'm so embarrassed about the circumstances of this. My dad used to be on mountain rescue and occasionally they would find living people. It's very rare up in the mountains. If somebody gets stuck up there, generally they'd be dead. Yeah. But occasionally they'd find somebody who was alive, and when they'd come and get them and rescue them, the person's reaction was never, I'm going to keep in touch with you forever, you saved my life. The person's reaction is I humiliation and anger that they had to be rescued. So they don't even like seeing the mountain rescue people who came and got them. The one exception is a little girl who was in a plane crash and she was very excited because there's no ego there yet.
Yeah.
But all the adults, it's such a strange reaction, but very, very common in those circumstances, is to be basically mad at your savior.
Yeah. I felt that even last year, falling off my bike and breaking my wrist. It was like a bad driver that caused the accident and another driver who also drove off and didn't inspect what happened. But still, even falling down and having a lot of pain was like, oh, fuck. I'm supposed to be an example of a good biker in Los Angeles. I'm not supposed to fall. I'm in the bike lane. This sucks real bad. I see other bikers going by. I hope they don't tell anyone. And like strangers are going like, hey, that looked really bad. You know, like, no, I'm fine. Shut up. God. Of course.
Everybody look the other way right now, please.
Why would you ask that? I'm okay. God.
Yeah. I was.
What was your confronting death moment?
I had two on the same trip to Costa Rica. I went with my now wife when she was my girlfriend and her sister. They were actually there for a long time and I came and met up with them. And one day we were going to try surfing and I don't surf.
No, it's hard.
Despite what my hair color might tell you. And so I went out there on the water. For a while, I would just hold the board and we'd like wait for a wave while Colleen was on it. And then I would push her into the wave at exactly the right time to really humiliate her. Like, I'd try and get her on a wave. And
no,
it was working somewhat, but paddling yourself into a wave is very, very difficult. And so they went in, sat down on the beach and laid down. And I stayed out there and was trying to surf and didn't understand the concept of undertow. And there was it's an empty beach, no lifeguards or people or anything. And I start to feel myself drifting further and further out. And I don't know how to get back. And I'm getting so far out that I'm like, I don't know that they could hear me if I shouted for them. And they were both sleeping on the beach. And I was like, I think maybe I just go out to sea now. And I didn't know what to do. And I thought that might be the end for me. I didn't know that you're supposed to like paddle at a 90 degree angle across parallel to the beach and then find a new way in. I eventually ended up doing basically that, but accidentally trying to fight my way back in, trying to swim back in.
Even you saying that right now is very helpful to, if not our listeners, me, because that's new to me.
Yeah. You're supposed to paddle parallel to the beach for a while and then you'll find a place where the water will still carry you in. That was very scary. And when I got in, I mean, there was a whole period of time where I thought I knew I was drifting further. I needed help, but I was so embarrassed by it. I wasn't even going to tell my girlfriend that I was going to drift off to sea and die. Yeah. I was like, it'll just be easier if I do it.
She's sleeping.
Right. And then on that same trip, on my birthday, we went to a restaurant. Afterwards, I was feeling very full. And then I started to feel too full. And then I started throwing up. And that throwing up lasted the entire night.
Oh, is this when you were throwing up blood?
Yeah. So I was throwing up in a bathroom that didn't have a light in it. It was like a little hostel and kept throwing up and then get to a point where it was just bile. You know, like when you like retch and you're not getting anything else up. And then all of a sudden something substantial came up and I was like, well, I got a whole bunch of new fluid in my body. Where did that come from? And looked in the toilet and it was very dark and realized that I was throwing up blood. And I thought, okay, like this is, I die in Costa Rica. That's weird. That's not how I thought this would go. That's not what the witch said. Didn't want to bother them again. So it sounds like they're terrible people that I don't want to tell them about my injuries. It's more just my own ego where I was like,
oh yeah,
fuck, maybe this will just go away. Maybe this isn't forever. And slept that night and was so thirsty in the way where it made me sympathize with people in Westerns who are shot and immediately they're like, hey, can you just get me some water?
Yeah.
Hey. And I was like, because I'm watching those, you're like, what are you going to do with water?
It's a waste of water, buddy.
It just drains the fluids from your body. And so I was so, so thirsty. And we had barely any of the water left that she and I were splitting. And I eventually just drank the whole thing. And she was upset about that until I told her that I was throwing up blood. And then they were like, okay, do you want to go to a doctor? And I said, no. Because I didn't trust the doctors in Costa Rica. And there's no reason not to. I didn't also know how insurance worked down there. I didn't know anything. So I was like, maybe this will just go away. And eventually it did. Like my fever started to subside. I wasn't throwing up blood anymore. And things got better. And then I came back to the States and went to a doctor here. And I was like, so I did this weird thing in Costa Rica where I threw up blood. Crazy, right? Probably fine. I'm going to go. And they did some tests and everything. And they found out that I had this thing called Mallory Weiss tears in my esophagus, which means that I was throwing up so hard that it created tears in my esophagus and they started to bleed. And apparently those don't heal all the time. And you can just bleed out from them. Like alcoholics bleed out from those sometimes because they throw up so frequently. And it just creates these, and now there's just some scar tissue in my esophagus, but it was the doctor was like, it was very serious. You should have gone to the doctor. It was stupid not to. And I was like, okay, no, you're right. You're right. That's next time. Next time. And it's crazy in those moments how your ego is still in complete control.
Yeah.
You still don't want to be in that situation. You don't want anyone to know you're in that situation, and you're humiliated that you landed in it, regardless of whether it's your fault or not.
Right. This wasn't life or death, but when I started to lose vision in my right eye due to stress because of a condition that I've since learned is called central serous retinopathy, it was a thing that I didn't go to doctors for a while. It was just like I was just gradually losing vision in my right eye and struggling to see in the daylight, and I couldn't read or write properly. And I was like sitting in my apartment with the shades drawn, wearing sunglasses, like an angry Weekend at Bernie's ghost, and not telling anyone about it. Just like weeks went by where it was like, well, I'm either losing my vision or I'm going insane. Either way, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. So I'll just ride this out. I'll just see how far this goes until I finally started going to doctors, and I called my mom, and she very helpfully relayed all of our family's history of vision problems. And I was like, oh, this is good information to have. I'd gone to doctors and they were like, does your family have a history of vision problems? And I was like, nope. And then I talked to my mom and I was like, oh, let me amend that real quick.
Yeah. I don't know why we do that. It's like, I wonder if that's just a guy thing.
You frame it as an ego thing, which it very well might be. I've always termed it as a, I don't want to be a problem for anyone else thing, but it might be an ego thing. You're probably right.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a fantastic subject that we're going to move right away from. And I have a question for you, but we're not going to get to that until after this break.
This podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of amazing classes covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills. They have thousands of classes in photography and creative writing to design, productivity, and more. Their classes are on demand, so you can learn at your own pace.
Whoa.
Get inspired. Yeah. Is that news to you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, you go at your own pace.
So it's have to do it like they don't force me to do it with my eyes open, Clockwork Orange style? Like I don't have to sit in front of a thing and learn?
Yeah, well, it depends on which class.
Okay. So there are some classes that peel your eyes open with hooks and force you to learn?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Get inspired, join a class, and create something you'll love.
Okay.
I actually have been looking at some Skillshare videos.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, I have, there's one on color palettes. Like
what is it?
If you're doing photo, what?
Which one?
I mean, I don't remember the name. I don't remember who the teacher was for it, but it was all, you don't actually see anybody in it. And it's just somebody's Photoshop is open and they're teaching you about color palettes and how to decide on color palettes. And it's so great. I could have used it.
How great is it?
I was writing articles online. I'm telling you right now how great it is. Like basically the idea that you would take primary colors, red, blue, and yellow, and then over it, you would throw just like a brown, but you do like a translucence on it. And then that becomes your color palette. Whatever colors you create within that, with that brown over it, they all look great together and they go really well together. Anyway, I learned a lot about contrasting colors.
And you learn that from the computer?
Complementary colors from the computer, from Skillshare.
Wow.
Have you taken any of these?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You like them?
I do, yeah. I've been taking an American Sign Language class. It's American Sign Language Level 1.
You said you were going to do that. You said you were going to do sign language. That's wonderful that you're taking a class on it.
Yeah, I'm taking American Sign Language because there aren't a lot of... Here's what's good about Skillshare is that I've been looking around New York City for my hiatus to take classes, but I'm sort of forced into the semesters that make sense for the ASL schedule out in New York. But when I'm doing it with Skillshare, I can just do it whenever I want, which has been very convenient because the classes are all out here from an expert who not only knows how to sign properly, but also is very sensitive to the deaf culture and community, which is important when learning ASL. It's you just as a warning out there to everybody, you shouldn't just try to learn for communication's sake. You should also understand the culture. And American Sign Language Level 1 through Skillshare is very good at stressing that.
That's great.
Yeah, Joy, I know it's great. I just said it was great.
Okay, cut that. I wouldn't bring it up.
I wouldn't bring it up if I didn't know it was great.
That I was using "that's great" as a transition. That's all.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, like that. It wasn't actually cool. We're just moving on. Join the millions of students already learning. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare and get 2 months free when you sign up at skillshare.com/QQ. That's 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free.
It's my
listeners. Go to Skillshare. To Dan's listeners,
Daniels.
Go to Skillshare. Go to skillshare.com/QQ. Why don't I say that differently? What is that slash? Anything?
Probably just say slash.
Okay. Go to skillshare.com/QQ to sign up. That's skillshare.com/QQ.
Spend all that time making sure you got the right slash, but you still call me Dan. Oh, what a cool ad. One of my faves. Soren, a quick question.
Go ahead.
How do you feel about Twitter now?
What do you mean?
I kind of hate what Twitter's become. And like completely separate from the how it's led to the rise of the new Nazis and alt-right nationalism and all of the reasonable things that people hate about Twitter. If I'm just trying to find like a corner of Twitter that is just funny, I don't think that exists anymore. I feel like non-political Twitter at this point has become this strange series of quote, tweet this with your most controversial opinion about X. And sometimes people are just doing some questions like, when is a time you were embarrassed in your youth? I'll start. And then they do it. And then people make a thread about it. I feel like there used to be jokes on Twitter and silliness. And now like Hunter Harris, Dylan Galula, Jamie Loftus, Ayo Edebiri, Natalie Walker, Katie Delaney, like four other women whose names escape me right now. And Rajat and Brian Frenzy are the only people still doing honest to God jokes. And the rest of it is like Andy Richter retweeting something from politics and being like, I have no words. Goodness gracious, this is what our world's become. Wow.
Yeah.
And it's just a bummer. Like, what's Twitter for anymore?
I agree with you. I think that you've worked on the internet before. You know what it means to chase traffic and like what you have to do to chase traffic. And also you have a good sense of what creates traffic. And that's a really ugly thing. That's like an ugly hornet's nest, which is the idea is you have to make somebody feel in order for them to interact with you. And generally it's much easier to make somebody feel bad or self-righteous or sanctimonious than it is to make them laugh. And so you get a lot of traction on Twitter from a post that's just political than you do from a joke, because the joke's not going to land with everybody. And when you see that as a person, like it's hard not to make that become part of the way that you use Twitter. Certainly it was for me. I used to do just like a lot of jokes too. You did too. I don't see you on there anymore.
No, I'm not a salmon. I'm not going to swim upstream.
The problem is I'll still try and
but I'm also not going to like do what is working on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
And working on Twitter right now is esteemed comedians saying, Mitch McConnell resign, sir. Like, that's not fun.
It's not fun.
I mean, I agree with you, but like, I don't enjoy that. It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a hard thing to say if that's good or bad, because maybe it's necessary, right? We don't know. This is a pretty bad time politically. Mm-hmm. And that you have everybody is talking about the same thing and everybody's conscious of it, that there's no differentiation for people who are comedians. Like, they're still gonna have to deal with this thing too and bring it up so it's in everybody's face all the time. Like, I don't know if that's healthy. I don't know if that's cathartic for people. I just don't know. I mean, it may turn out, like, it may shake out that was very helpful in the turning point of getting people who wouldn't ordinarily vote or be interested in politics finally listening to politics,
right? But even separate from the politics side of things, I feel like joke Twitter has fallen by the wayside a bit. Like, it's become like very format driven, where we're not making new jokes. We're just taking, like, as soon as a format emerges, like one of the recent ones was
the doctor on a plane.
Yeah. Flight attendant: is there a doctor on this plane? Dad nudges me. That could have been you.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then people have done that format over and over again. And they haven't really created a new spin on the format. They're not saying anything about the format or making new jokes. They're just, I don't know, remixing it slightly. And I feel like that's most of Twitter and most of online jokes right now, is that we're just doing
remixes of something.
References and remixes to
memes.
It's
mining it all the way to the ground. And it's just pulling all the water from that well. But then that's what, that's what, like,
but also, like, I'm very open to the fact that, like, maybe I'm old. I mean, I'm certainly older than people who are doing memes and doing stuff on Twitter right now. I just, I don't know where it's no longer a platform that encourages creative comedic innovation.
I don't know that I agree with that.
No? Okay.
No, I think that there are still some people who are doing a good job of it. And are...
Right. I named like the nine of them.
I think there are still a lot of people who are doing it right. And, or I shouldn't say doing it right, doing it the way that you're thinking of, which is just like some absurdist humor that has nothing to do with anything. And there's still, and because I still chuckle at those, it means that it's still working. It's still, I mean, it's them. I think it's just a macro version of the, you hate the micro version, which is everybody taking one specific theme and putting on themselves unnecessary restrictions and then trying to make jokes within that. That's what Twitter is, though. Twitter is putting unnecessary restrictions on yourself through this social website and then seeing how you can play within those restrictions.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm fine with it. I think it's okay. I
should be fine with it too.
I do get pretty depressed though. You're right. I mean, like scrolling through it, I get, it's pretty easy to get overwhelmed and bummed out.
Yeah.
And, but it means all the more when you see like Brian Frenzy doing something completely absurdist and great. And you're like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
Have you guys used, I had someone show me TikTok for the first time.
Yeah. I know TikTok.
I haven't used it. I know that it's huge for, fans of Beetlejuice, the musical.
Sometimes you say stuff. I don't know if you're kidding with me or not.
A lot of incredible Beetlejuice, the musical TikToks out there.
Well, there's this thing that I think most of the content is probably not for us. It's like people singing or dancing to like pop hits, I think.
Or Beetlejuice, the musical.
Yeah, yeah,
say
yeah,
my
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't speak for me, Bacon. That sounds great.
But there's it's easy to edit things. Like you can do like a quick edit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, there's a part of it that's becoming like what Vine used to be, which I thought Vine was actually like a very interesting alternative to like the trash YouTube long form stuff that's like not good.
I mean, I think I wanted to continue what you're saying, but I do feel like Vine has gotten a really great renaissance that is aided by the fact that there are a lot of YouTube compilations of the best vines. I think people are ignoring the fact that there was a whole lot of shit on Vine when Vine was at its peak. But go on.
I actually only know, I never installed Vine, or I guess it was through Twitter, but I only know it through those compilations. And actually the only time I see a TikTok video is through Reddit or something like that, where it's gone through the layer of like aggregation and filtration that I'm now seeing like what I imagine is the very best specifically for me.
Yeah. I've seen TikTok videos occasionally make their way the same way, where like it trickles into my consciousness or into my periphery because I'm on Twitter and somebody has figured out how to get a TikTok video on Twitter.
Somebody has.
some genius. And it's the same sort of thing where I'm like, oh, this doesn't look so bad.
Yeah.
But then every once in a while I'll see ones where there's like I'll see that they've got some meme over there where they're like, this is what you could have had or something like that, where there's like somebody who's looking sort of raggedy and a little haggard and they're like smiling at the camera and everything. And then they put their hand over the camera and then they pull it away and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. And I'm like, oh, this shit's not for me.
Right. So much of TikTok is steeped in many layers of memes that have already left you behind and left me behind. And we just have to accept that.
Yeah.
Like you can, there's thousands of memes of teens who are using camera tricks to make it look like they are eating their own fingers to the song of the Kidz Bop's version of Wake Me Up by Evanescence. Like, that's a trend on TikTok that exists. You can find several of those videos.
That sounded like a Mad Libs.
I know. It's really, it's just, it's designed to weed out old folks like us.
Yeah.
And mission accomplished.
Yeah. It's like trying to keep up with pop culture is like being an NFL running back. I feel like I'm not that old. What happened? How come I have to retire?
It's really, I think, I'll direct you to some of these conversations privately, but you coming up as you did as like writing on the internet, writing articles and then doing a proprietary web service and then eventually YouTube, you have your own perspectives on how the internet has changed. It's been very fascinating for me to read perspectives from the Vine kids, people who like grew up on Vine, mm-hmm. and are now heralded as like elder statesmen of internet video. Like, yeah. Like Vine kids having opinions on TikTok is very fascinating to me.
Oh,
as like a pre YouTube person who is now observing these things.
Right.
I think you'd like it too.
Oh, interesting. Because
they like Viners have strong opinions on TikTok and how it's an inferior follow-up to Vine. And I'm just like, ah, you're all weird to me.
You feel like Dr. Manhattan, like you've seen all of time. And you're like, oh, what are they talking about? I'll just sit here on Mars. This is stupid. I'm not playing anymore. That's very fascinating though. And I wonder if they are, is there like reverence among the TikTok community for the Vines of yesteryear?
There's a lot of theft. Oh. Like a lot of TikTok is stealing.
Oh,
Vines.
Yeah.
Not a lot of Vines were stealing other content.
That's basically, those are the only other times I see Vines, or not Vines, see TikTok, is that somebody will have posted, and people say you can't be funny without being controversial. And then it'll be like a Vine that's like a good, I mean, not a Vine, fuck, sorry. It's like a TikTok that's a pretty funny joke. And then everyone underneath it will be like, no, actually, this is stolen. Like, they'll be like, it'll be some young kid who's just taken a joke from Tumblr or Twitter and made it into a video. And I don't know. I mean, people have so many different opinions on stealing now anyway that I don't, do they even consider it theft? I do. Yeah. I'm angry about it on their behalf.
I feel like one day, once this podcast takes off and we get a little money and my beak is just fucking drenched, I would love to do a longer nonfiction podcast about the evolution of internet content from when we started to whatever the fuck is happening now. But that's a topic for a future day.
That's something you could do on your hiatus, Dan. You can start researching that.
Okay, I'll do it. But in the meantime, we're going to wrap this up. And I've got to track down all the social accounts. I don't know why I always do this. I put them in a box and I jam them in my closet. And now I have to go open the closet, open the box, remember the password for the box.
That's fine. I could just do it. I have them right here.
No. I mean, like, I'm already up, so I'm just going to do it. But while I'm doing that, Soren, you've been working on your South African accent. Care to share?
More than you know. I'm pretty proud of this one. It's one that I've been working on in my car. I do it with my son occasionally, too. It goes a little something like this. Hey, men, what? Why are you hassling me? Let me be. Let me just go on my way. Hey, man, what's the problem here?
Okay, now in this scene, I'm like, I'm a vendor, and I'm like trying to sell you fruit.
Okay,
like, hey, do you want to buy some fruit?
Hey, man, I don't want your fruit. Leave me alone. I don't want your fruit.
I'm not hassling you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. I'll buy.
What's the money?
I'm really slipping around here. Let me see if I can nail this down a little better. Okay. Give me some star fruit. Some steak gaming. No, that's not it. Hey.
Yeah, and what's the currency that you're going to hand me?
Queen Victoria coin.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
I don't know.
Oh,
you're the expert.
This This should cover my starfruit. This Queen Victoria coin. Great. Hey, Chappie, get over here.
You can find me on Twitter at DLB_INC or Soren at Soren_LTD or Bacon at Make Me Bacon Please PLS. Or you can find the show at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us if you feel like it. You can find us on Instagram. Probably. We also have a Patreon, which you can find by Patreon/QQ.
I'm turning into a prawn, man.
All right. That feels good.
Why did you go with starfruit?
I wanted something exotic, and I didn't, like, I don't know if they've got grapes. I don't know. I've never been to South Africa.
I mean, there's great wine out of Africa, so they probably have grapes.
Is that what Out of Africa is about?
Yeah, it's about grapes.
Oh, wine, okay. I'll have to see that movie again. All right, bye.
Bye.